I'm talking to Bert Robinson, from Newtown Butler, which is a lovely, lovely place, lovely town. Tell me, have you always been here? Have you always been in this place?
Well, I came from Derry Lynn, and I'm married a Newtown Butler girl, and I'm living now in Newtown Butler for the last 49 years.
Okay, and what's your date of birth? When were you born?
28th of August 1940.
Okay, so you've seen a lot of changes and how things happened really in your area over the last more than a half a century.
Well, in the last 49 years, I've saw a lot of happenings in Newtown Butler. Unfortunately, some not so good, some fairly good. But otherwise, we have had to live together as best we could due to all the troubles. There were a lot of mishaps.
So you grew up in the in what tradition?
I grew up in the Protestant tradition.
Church of Ireland. And so you lived directly across the road from the church? And
I lived directly across the road from the Roman Catholic Chapel.
And so you would have seen the people coming and going all the time. Now, was it a thing that you kept away from?
No, not necessary. I mean, see, I've gone to funerals in the chapel. I have gone to weddings in the chapel. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah. So, but living in Derry Lynn, were you born into a farming community?
Father originally was a First World War veteran. He joined the Royal Flying Corps, who changed to the RAF. He saw service on ground crew, and he'd done service in France. When he came back from the war, he worked in the building business. We were always builders in the Ballyconnell area in County Cavan. And then he married my mother, and he moved north at that time because my mother lived in a little farm right across the border, not far from Derry Lynn. He moved in with her, and that's where I was born and reared, on a little small farm. But he always kept his building and carpentry and decorating business, and he kept it going. I went to school in Enniskillen into the technical college, and when I left the technical college, I started out with him and served my time along with him.
Okay, and did you take over the business?
Well, it wasn't a business as such. It was only a one-man business, but then I expanded, and we worked on church halls. I got a contract of building the custom station at Athlone in 1966-67. And I built that. And then we went on to work, and we'd done a lot of government contracts for the government.
I see. And so then when you got married, you moved to Newtown Butler.
I got in with a girl from Newtown Butler, and she took me to Newtown Butler instead of me taking her to Derry Lynn. And yes, and then I started off in joinery. I had a joinery works, and we had that going, and it was a very successful business at that time when the wooden windows were going, and
of course you were surrounded by forestry, and
it was all imported timber that was used. We would have used redwoods from Canada or Norway or whatever, and we would have used a lot of mahogany.
Okay, in the making of sash windows,
making of sash windows and vertical sliding windows, doors, stairs. We were into all that. And that was started off really as a business that I could run my main business on the building industry. And we would have had them bits and pieces, the windows, the doors, the stairs and whatever. Yeah. And we would have used those in our main building business.
So tell me now, when the troubles broke out in 1969. Was your business affected by, at any stage, did you find it difficult running a business there?
Absolutely, because I would have done a lot of government contracts. And the fact is that it was looked on as not a good idea for anybody to be working for the government. And with a lot of terrorist activity in the border areas, we were vulnerable. And it was you just had to be very, very careful. And if you had employees, you had to be careful with the employees that they didn't get into all sorts of trouble. And to be honest with you, having lived in Newton Butler and the situation getting worse and worse, I had to pull out of the building business as such.
Okay, it forced you out.
It forced me out. And I couldn't do any of the government contracts, and I hadn't sufficient private business to carry on.
Yeah.
And I ran it down, and eventually in the end I got a one-year contract with the National Trust as a clerk of works, and I ended up there 17 and a half years until I retired.
I see. So tell me, was there a lot of, as you say, activity? Was there a lot of IRA harassment or intimidation, maybe?
Yes, there was a certain amount of intimidation, but the fact is that part of County Monaghan and County Cavan, and it comes in and out through County Fermanagh, and that was an ideal place for terrorist activity because the police couldn't get that close to them, and neither could the Garda, because they could slip in and out across the border.
Oh, yes. So it was an easy escape.
A very easy escape. And unfortunately, in our parish, in the Church of Ireland parish in Newton Butler, we lost quite a lot of our parishioners.
Yeah.
Due to terrorist activity.
Did you know? Yeah. And so can you talk me through a little bit of that? Your lovely town suffered greatly from lots of bombings and shootings. And
there was one business in Newton Butler, and due to all the bombings and everything else, I actually put panes of glass in that business. It was a wee newsagents and tobacco business, and I put glass into that business and somewhere in the region of about 15 times.
Imagine that. Yeah, that it...
There were bombs going off every so often.
Was it like a war zone?
I mean, absolutely. I remember walking down the street one night and some little bomb had gone off, and then there went another one off. And I remember well the terrible feeling of just like suction happening. Your body was sort of lifted. And you
experienced that?
Yes, I did experience that on one night.
My goodness. And so it shocked and wrecked and the community. Were you totally at edge?
Oh,
nervous about what might happen next?
Definitely, because I mean to say, my wife, we had four small children. Well, four, some small and some larger children at that time. And my wife would have often said, will I see him again?
Imagine, that there was that fear of losing.
There was a lot of fear. And look, it wasn't on one side of the community. It was on both sides of the community.
Yeah.
They feared, the nationalists feared that there would be reprisals. Unfortunately, the Protestant population in Newton Butler, there was no reprisals. Fortunately, there was no reprisals, other than the one that happened out where Murray and Nan were murdered, and that was a British Army actually activity, and they were murdered, and that was shortly after the boy Robin Bell was murdered on the way out in the car with his father and brother to milk the cows on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yes, yes. And you were telling me that he was going out and he was didn't come back.
Well, he went out in the car when the father was driving and the other brother was in the back seat. And as they turned up into an outlying farm, the IRA opened up on them and he was wounded, badly wounded. And by the time he got to hospital, and he died from his wounds in hospital.
So were you, being in that position, being threatened all the time by the IRA, did you see the IRA as Southerners who were coming up and affecting or destroying your way of doing things, living?
You could say that in a sense, but having said that, there was IRA activity all round. It was amongst us. You know, they had to have scouts. They would have had to have had people in the area that knew movements and knew what the activity.
Yeah. So that meant trust, to try and trust your neighbour.
That's right. There was a certain amount of trusting your neighbour. And the Protestant community, they just couldn't trust them. They couldn't trust their neighbours because they didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who was who.
Yeah, there was that fear that, you know, that they might be informing.
Could be doing all sorts of things, yes. But in all honesty, the Roman Catholic people would have possibly said the same about us.
Hmm. And so, was it them and us then?
I mean, it was them and us. That is quite correct.
Yeah. And how did you see the South of Ireland as a different country then?
Yes. We would have blamed the South of Ireland for not taking a hard enough line against the IRA or the terrorists in the South of Ireland, not curtailing them, because we knew that there was training areas down the South of Ireland and the IRA could train quite openly down there.
A kind of haven?
Well, I wouldn't say maybe haven. The guard had done a certain amount, but they were restricted with what they could do.
Yeah.
Now, we had a guard, was he a guard, the sergeant, murdered up at Wattle Bridge.
Yeah, so you had, I suppose, on both sides. But were you disappointed with what was happening? And in other words, did you see yourself first as an Irishman or as a British? I mean,
I have a British citizenship, and because I was born in Northern Ireland, I called myself British. But I suppose that all comes from the plantation of Ulster, which my previous ancestors would have came over at the plantation of Ulster. And I suppose, in all honesty, we took over the land from the Irishmen. And, you know, maybe it wasn't all right.
But how? I mean, who would you cheer for if Ireland in a rugby match were playing England? I mean, would you be cheering for England or would you be cheering?
No, I would cheer for Ireland. Yes, if it was genuinely Irish people, because the rugby team is north and south.
Yeah,
and we would cheer on the Irish, and we like to see the Irish winning. But if it was England and France, we would cheer on England.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, in all honesty, if Manchester United were playing soccer against Dublin, we would cheer on Manchester United. You know, yes.
So, and staying with games, do you see the GAA as a political organisation? Or do you see them as good or bad for the communities?
The GAA have done one hell of a lot of good for the Roman Catholic people. they keep them together, and I have to lift my hat to them. They do organise their games very, very well. Maybe more so in years gone by. Now, there are a lot of people are, what would you say, au fait, or would you say, will cooperate with the GAA. For example, the police are now, we can have teams and they can play alongside the GAA or they can play against the GAA. Mm. Before this, security forces in Northern Ireland were not allowed to play in the GAA, and now that is a rule that has been revoked.
Mm-hmm. And so, but prior to that, you know, when there were all these restrictions, and you probably saw the GAA as a foreign game then, in a sense, the way I suppose that some people in the South would see soccer and cricket as foreign games. And
yes, I would say yes, yeah. But the GAA, in all honesty, was Gaelic football, and it very, very well supported. My father, he always counted himself a County Cavan man, and so he was, and he would have supported the County Cavan GAA, mm-hmm. and he would have very much supported Cavan team if they were going down to Dublin. And in the 1950s, 40, late 40s, early 50s, Cavan would have won quite a few All-Ireland finals. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, my father, he ran they used to run in Ballyconnell, and they had an athletic
organisation called the NACA.
Well, I don't know where it's the NACA.
Or BLE.
It was a running organisation, and my father was very much involved in that.
Yeah. So it's all mixed up. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely, yes.
Talk to me about your community, then. The people you know, they've all been... Have you seen them being really hurt and affected and traumatised in many ways by the last number of years?
Well, some of my good friends who were in security forces, UDR, and they had to leave their farms in the 1970s, early 1980s, and two families in particular went off to Canada. We've had... another two families had to move out of the area altogether, mm-hmm. due to terrorist activity. There were being shots fired across the farms and all that carry on. And they were very worried. Their wives were worried, and their families were worried.
Of course, and to have to leave your own place.
That's right. That's right. And that was genuine enough. Now, I know one man, and I visited him out in Canada, and his wife, and his wife has since died, and he comes over every year, maybe 2-3 times a year, and he visits the area, and he would always come around us and see us. And I know his heart is back in County Fermanagh, but his whole family weren't over with him, and they're married out there in Canada, and he'll not be back. Yeah. He'll not be back permanently.
I see. So that's one casualty in another way, isn't it?
The local garage man in Newton Butler, Bobby Crilly, and he and I were very friendly, and he was doing a little job for me, and he had done it. And it was on the 2nd of January 1980. And that man... we went down to fill a barrel full of water, and we just came up on the street on the tractor. I'd bought a new premises at the time, and I came up on the street on the tractor on the main street, and a lady came over, and there's after been a shooting. She said, there's after been a shooting in the garage, and we dropped the link box of the tractor, ran into the garage, and there we got that man lying in a pool of blood underneath the lift, the car lift, because he was welding an exhaust on a customer's car. And we just got him lying dead in a pool of blood. and the gas torch was still burning. And we turned off the gas torch. There was another chap who came along with me. And next thing was the police came in and doctor and all that, but he was murdered.
And so
it takes its toll.
Of course it does. And so that affected you, I'm sure. In what was going through your head when you saw this?
Well, when you saw that, you call them the bastards. They've murdered another person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bobby Crilly, he was a man. He was on the police reserve, yes. He was a very inoffensive man. He loved a game of badminton. If somebody came along to the garage, he was a one-man show in the garage, a very good mechanic he was. But if somebody came along and he was a good badminton player, Bobby had the racket in the garage and he would have went up to the church hall and they'd have had a game of badminton in the middle of the day. Meant no difference. And that's the type of man he was. He did everybody. He did anything and everything for everybody.
Hmm. So, did you want to do anything about this? Did it make you bitter in such a way that you wanted to take...
Well, yes, there would be a certain amount of bitterness. You know, you said the bastards have murdered a friend of mine.
But did you feel like you wanted to pick up a gun and go after them? Or
That wasn't the answer. That wasn't the answer. And after all, they were long gone.
Yeah.
Another good friend of mine who owned a business in Newton Butler, Richie Latimer, they came in on a Saturday morning and they shot him at the back of the counter. And shot him dead and got away.
Yeah.
Another chap lived out the road, the farmer, coming in off duty one night of the police. And the IRA, they opened up on him and they wounded him. Fortunately, he survived. Another very good friend of mine, actually. Another chap, John McVitie, was murdered out in the field. He was out with the tractor, I think, mowing rushes or whatever. He was doing something out in one of his fields and he had a farm and he was on the police in Newton Butler. He was murdered. And, you know, these all take their tolls, but yet, at the same time, I've gone in to the cross-community side of it, and we're in Newton Butler together, and I have to say, we have a good relationship with everybody. Mm. And it's amazing. We started off actually going out on a trip to the Somme, to Belgium, to the Somme. And that started it all off, and we then started off Newton Butler together.
Mm.
And it is a cross community, and we do lots of things, and we get funding for the items that we do.
I know, yes, it's very hard to pick yourself up after all of that, isn't it?
Yes, it is, certainly, but, you know, things have moved on, and thank God now we don't have the murdered.
Yeah.
Thank God people have... saw sense. I was speaking to Granny yesterday afternoon, who lost her son in an accident in Newton Butler a few days ago, and there was two young boys killed.
Yeah.
And you know, and
in an accident, just
in a car accident.
Yeah.
And those two young boys, they've left grieving families, they've left parents, they've left grannies.
But that's sad. Yes, it's a horrible situation to be in, and you know you're grieving, and it brings it certainly back, but there are people to blame, and do you feel none of these people have ever been caught for their
That was the unfortunate case. There was none of them apprehended, none of them caught. There was that McElwain boy up at Rusley. He was shot by the army, and he was involved in a lot of the murders in Newton Butler.
And so not being held accountable for that kind of activity, surely that must be going around in your mind as a...
Yes, you know, but...
there should be justice done here.
Yes, there should be justice, certainly. But on the other hand, we can't go back. We must look forward.
Yeah. And so when the peace treaty, the Good Friday Agreement, and when all those prisoners were released, that was another, here were the people who murdered a lot of the people out in the streets again. Was that something that kind of, you didn't like that?
Yes, that would be something that we didn't like. But having said that, maybe they were forgiving.
Yeah. So forgive and forget, is that the...
I think, yes, I think. And it will take a very, very long time for some of us older people to forgive and forget.
Yeah.
And it takes time. But time is a great healer.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, when you saw the military off the streets and you saw the checkpoints come down...
Yeah.
Was that a good or bad thing in your mind?
A good thing in my mind. It was a good thing, yes. Because with taking the military presence away, the terrorists, who were they fighting? Who were they fighting? There was nobody to fight. And I'll assure you that if we do go into a united Ireland, and someday we will.
Yeah.
We will. But I feel that the different factions of the terrorists who carried out some of the atrocities in previous years will fight the bit out.
Is that how you think? Yes, that's a very interesting point.
You know, you've got different factions.
Yes.
Of republicanism or terrorists. And I think that you will see the different
strands,
they will be fighting for power.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, I must say now. But your point about United Ireland, is that something that you would like to see happen?
Personally, we are British and we will remain British and we'll remain remain as British citizens. But I have no problem going down to the south of Ireland and standing up for the Irish Southern Irish anthem. Same way, if I go to France, I will stand up for the national anthem of France. I have no problem with that. But if I'm in the north of Ireland and the national anthem has been played, I will stand up for the British national anthem.
And Brexit, when that happens, if it happens and there is a hard border, is that something that you would...
Well, I would not like to see a hard border. I'd be very honest with you. I would not like to see a hard border.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be controversial on the whole Brexit thing.
Would you now? Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people think like you as well in that way. But they're who knows what will happen, you know?
I don't think anybody knows what happened. I don't think it's been properly thought out.
Mm.
I think somebody jumped into bed with their two Wellington boots on.
And now they want a divorce, which is...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, from Europe. But do you know, Bert, it's lovely to tease out and to talk about these things because... These are the niggling little factors that remain in people's minds that if they were able to speak out and talk about, that maybe this coming together and respecting one another's true beliefs.
Respect is very, very much...
customs and traditions.
Yes, and I think that we have got to respect the other tradition.
Yeah,
and I think that before very long, with ISIS and all those other terrible people in the world, I think that we will have to look at that point of view of terrorism.
Yeah, and the you know, just what you experienced, what you lived through for 30 years. That
longer, actually.
Yeah, it was longer. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing you've come through it at all. Yeah.
Well, yes, we have came through it, and a lot of people didn't come through it. A lot of people had mental breakdowns and all that, and I suppose we were strong and we had to come yeah. through it. There was no other way. We had to get out and work. We had to earn the crust. We had mortgages like everybody else.
Yeah. That's interesting. And then you just cleaned up and got on with it.
Yes.
Know, imagine. Yeah. Bert Robinson, thank you for this talk. I feel that this is the first of possibly many chats that we'll have along the way. Thank you.
Thank you.